from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We were going to talk about one thing, but now we might talk about another thing.
We probably shouldn't.
No, it's about Tim Hardaway, not the pooping thing. Unless you want to talk about that at some point.
I think this is relevant. The Tim Hardaway.
Okay, good. I also agree with that. All right, let's go to the Corey News Instagram desk.
Do you consider this to be something offensive? Tim Hardaway Sr., the original crossover king on Instagram.
Killer crossover, yeah.
He Instagrammed out, I guess that's how you say it.
Grammed it.
To my son at Tim Jr., you had a great season. We are very proud of you. Keep striving and continue success. You are always a winner in our eyes. Dallas Mavs NBAs, you didn't win that championship, but I have confidence you will. You are a blessed young man. So that was his post, his original post.
That's nice.
Somebody, Fades by Griff, said they shipping him out after this season with the laughy face and with tears. And then Tim Hardaway Sr. responded, yes, they are, and we want to have a new opportunity to shine. We didn't like what happened. We are ready to go. So that was the response there. And then somebody said Boston works. And so there we go. That's that's what happened there. So
I'll take Sam Hauser. Straight up.
Interesting. All right. His defense was pretty good.
Yeah, and he can shoot better.
He did shoot pretty well. So that was the post that you're seeing on Twitter right now is a screenshot of that. So I went to Tim Hardaway Sr.'s Instagram to see where it originated from, and it was from his post where he was just saying, hey, congratulations. I love you, son. Great job. You know? And so then here we are with the, hey, they are shipping him out of here, and we're ready.
Do you think
that's going to help in negotiations?
This is the Amari Cooper situation, except he's not Amari Cooper.
Well, and like I understand Tim Hardaway Sr. has perhaps been more outspoken about this kind of stuff than his son. But do you think it's right to have, like, I don't know, hurt feelings, if that is the proper way to describe it, on the way out the door?
It's okay. He's human. If you get benched, especially in the playoffs, you're going to have your feelings hurt. He looks at it as he's a very confident person, both of them, but let's just concentrate here on Hardaway Jr.
He didn't get his shot to shine.
He was a sixth man of the year candidate until after the All-Star break, and then that completely faded away. And then you got early on into the playoffs, and Jason Kidd and the Dallas Mavericks decided he is not a valuable player in the playoffs, and we are going to completely take him out of our rotation. He's human. You're going to feel really hurt by that, that you're like, wait, I'm the third best offensive option on this team, which he might probably believe he's the third best player on the team. And I'm okay with him feeling hurt. I think it would be weird in a way if you were really excited about getting benched and like, hey, I just want to stay on the team and watch the other guys play basketball. Yeah. So there's this like fine line of you want to be a good teammate, but I also want you to have enough confidence in yourself to be like, screw Jaden Hardy, screw Josh Green, I'm better than those guys. So there's this like fine line of being a teammate and then competing with your teammates for playing time.
Kevin, do you want to stick on Tim Hardaway or do you want to move on to a couple other things?
I'm okay with moving on unless there is anything else about Tim Hardaway you want to chop up.
Not necessarily. I think we all saw what we saw, and I think that there like was there's you love the dude could shoot threes for a while, and you're like, man, that dude can get hot. You know it. But just like Joey Gallo, we understand. Mike brought that up, and I think it's a very good comparison. So I did want to throw this out. Nico Harrison said he anticipates nothing happening with the players who ranked in the top 7 or 8 for minutes played, according to Grant Avsith.
And then Tim Hardaway Jr. staying on the team.
And he said Derek Jones Jr. is priority 1A and 1B, and they will do whatever required to re-sign him. So,
did he say your top 8 playoff minute guys? Because
I don't know about that.
I think he probably meant that, because if he's meaning the guys who average the top minutes for you, then that would put Tim Hardaway Jr. on the team, right?
You ready for postseason, though?
Yeah.
He said 7 or 8?
Yeah.
Luka.
Okay, I'll keep him.
Kyrie.
I'll keep him.
PJ.
I like him.
Derek Jones Jr.
Sounds like a plan.
Derek Lively.
I like him.
Daniel Gafford.
All right.
Josh Green.
Holy cow.
That's 7. So if it's 7 there, if it's 7 or 8, Maxi Kleber is 8, and then you don't get down to Hardaway until 9. So that feels like a specific.
Hey, he knew. He actually knew the playoff numbers because he said 7 or 8. He's like, I don't want to trade Maxi, and I get it. Maxi has value to a team, but he's probably like, if I had to include him to make the salaries work, or that team had to have Maxi Kleber in the deal and it's the right deal, I'll do it. I get it. I guess I would not be opposed to, I don't want to trade Josh Green. I'm with Nico on this, but if I had to put Josh Green in a trade to make something work, and I really love the impact I'm getting back, I'm okay with trading Josh Green.
Somebody did ask, is Hardaway better than Hardy and Green today? Probably, but he's also in the way of developing those guys, kind of the same way with Tyron was. You know, that makes a lot of sense.
And I think you're going to dispute about Hardy now, right?
I understand that. Was that from the auto?
It was, from the text.
From the text. From the Frankel
firm.
Yeah, those guys. They're lawyers.
Hey, if you or a loved one get injured in an accident, 817 or 214-333-3333.
Oh yeah, just
three it up.
But I don't think he's better today than those two guys.
You don't think Hardaway is better than those two?
No, I think it may be the start of the year. I think at the start of the 2023 season, I could maybe agree with that statement. As we progress through the whole season and the playoffs, there's no doubt. I don't think there's a general manager. I don't think there's a head coach. I don't think there's anybody who thinks at this point Hardaway is better than Hardy or Green at this point.
I don't think outside of that family. Yeah, I don't think that is the case. Well, I guess we do have some fans since they texted in. I don't think
that's
the case.
General managers and head coaches. Yeah. I understand fans, but I think that if you went to all 30 general managers, they say, all right, rank these players in order. It might go, I'm guessing, but there could be differences in the first two, but I'm guessing it would be Green, Hardy, Hardaway.
I could see that.
And then Kevin also on Derek Lively, he wants him to rest. Nico Harrison wants him to rest this summer. And he says he praised his defense, but he says he won't be a pick and pop guy since that's not what this team needs. So y'all can do with that what you will.
I think I like that. And here's what I think he means by that. He's not going to set a pick and not dive to the basket and take that guy with him.
Yeah.
That isn't his job. But I do think we will see in the corner every once in a while. So he dives to the basket. That's taken away. Well, now to clear out space, he might now go jog to the corner as Luka or Kyrie start making their move to possibly go to the basket. And if he draws the center, then I do think we're going to see 1 to 3 times a game that they're going to kick it to Lively in the corner, and they're not going to close out on him early on in the season, and it's up to him to make enough shots that now the defense respects Lively in the corner 1 to 3 times a game.
Now, I want to quick hit something. I was about to say real quick. That's embarrassing for me. It is also a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved as we get more info, perhaps we'll trot out some more quotes from the Mavericks. But I had a question about this, and I've been thinking about this all week. And it's not really about, like, just maybe Brock Burke per se. But since he's come back, he had a lot of, I thought, really good things to say about his injury. And he was like, hey, look, punching the door wasn't the smartest thing. I was definitely frustrated. And then he said, frustrated, embarrassed, probably a whole combination of emotions. It definitely was the worst day of my career, whether it was the outing itself or the outcome after and breaking my hand and realizing what I had just done, what I had done to the team. And he like is really drilling in on it. And, you know, Bochy said he talked to them and apologized to them. And Brock Burke has a different mindset. And I appreciate all that. But I wanted to know, how much can a different mindset change your season? Not just Brock Burke, but just for a player in general, because he has the right attitude in terms of, oh my God, that was so dumb. Here's all the reasons it happened. Here's what I was feeling, and I'm trying to change. How much of a difference does that actually make, though?
I think it really can. I don't want to say it's always makes a difference. It doesn't always make a difference, but I believe that it can. And I know that people at times, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm actually going to bring up myself because I know myself better than I know Brock Burke. And I actually did play in the major leagues. And I'm sorry that you get upset. Here goes Bassick again, bringing up his stupid, horrible career. But I got released in 06 from the Washington Nationals in spring training. And I didn't know if I was getting back into professional baseball. I'm training still, but I'm signing up for classes at dccd.edu, like Mountain View and other places to, like, I got to get an education if I'm going to be done with baseball. So I'm going to keep training for baseball, but I'm also going to go to class just in case nobody else ever wants me. At the same time, I started reading a lot of books by Dean Smith, Mike Krzyzewski, Phil Jackson. I don't know why they are all basketball, but I love basketball. And we're looking at 06-ish time. Yeah. Well, the Mavericks are awesome, and I'm picking up all of these books on Phil Jackson's philosophy, Dean Smith's philosophy, Coach K's philosophy, and all these things. And it really helped me become into a present mindset that I need to concentrate on today and only today. Yesterday, if I improved yesterday or I did my work yesterday, that day is over, and now I'm concentrating on the present. If I pitched on that day, so then I did get back into affiliated baseball. The Arizona Diamondbacks picked me up a couple weeks later, thank you to AJ Hinch, and put me in Tucson. And that mindset that I had, now it wasn't perfect the rest of my career, but that mindset of trying to super concentrate on what I can control in that day and only that day, and the past is the past and the future is the future. What can I do right now to make myself better mentally and physically and prepare myself for the game at hand? And then in the moment, only make one pitch at a time. Only concentrate, focus on one pitch at a time through listening to these basketball coaches' philosophies. I went 11-0 with under a 3 ERA in Tucson, which is one of the hardest places to pitch in the world. First of all, the ground is made of concrete, no matter how soft you try to make it, and there's very little gravity in Tucson. So I had this most unbelievable career, or season, I should say, not career, but season. And I do think that my mindset was so strong that year that it really helped me out. So I can say, yes, I have seen it work in my own life. But then 07, I was pretty good. 08, I wasn't good, but I was dealing with an injury. And then that was the end of my career. So I can't say, like, because I had this mindset and a changed mindset, and at times I reverted back to my old mindset, which was a lot of anger and a lot of, like, if I was able to throw the ball 100, I think I had the mindset of a power pitcher.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, God didn't make me a power pitcher. So I had the mindset of a power pitcher without the ability to be a power pitcher.
Yeah. I think this is interesting, Kevin, because he's, what, 27? And at that age, you probably do start to have these reflections on where, you know, what you're doing and all that stuff and how can I be better. But I do think it's smart of him to have a more focus, more concentration on the problem at hand. And that was no pun intended, but
I appreciate that. I get it.
Concentrating on what led him to that moment and how to avoid it again. And then, you know, his focus on where he wants to go and what he wants to become from here. So just like Luka, we talk about Luka at 25 years old, he just made the finals and we're like, be better, dumbass. You know, like, why are you complaining so much? Young and still needs to experience things and go through trials in order to come out better on the other side of it.
Yeah.
I hope he applies it and really gets something big out of it. And then we're able to use him for a cheap contract as a great pitcher for a long time.
Absolutely agree with that. And he's saying all the right things. Look, you know how I feel. I was like, hey, are you good enough and cheap for the team? Then let's make it happen. Corey, I think you usually allow these from the 469. I'm turning 50 tomorrow, but you guys won't be on the radio tomorrow. Can I break the rules and get a shout out? I don't necessarily think that's a breaking of the rules.
The Weeknd did show up at the Pop Out concert for Kendrick. So, yes, we will allow the Weeknd to start on Friday and go all the way through Sunday.
He didn't leave his name, though.
Yes,
so, Reggie, if you want to follow up with your after that god-awful HBO show, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, as we add more football content, is it time for the return of NFL overreaction or reality? Probably. Next on The Fan.
14 for Luka on the welcome.
What is going on here?
He is on one tonight.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Huh?
No, I do not care about the Hawk Tua girl or everything that has taken over. For people that are asking.
Thank you for saying it, though.
If you, damn it.
Thank you.
If you care, good for you. I don't. And yes, I do agree with the people that think THJ should be sponsored by the Frankles because he can go either 817 or 214-333-33333. Just something.
Those are attempts.
Yes, absolutely. It's something to consider. All right.
You did eight threes.
No, he didn't.
It doesn't matter. Seven. You can do 74 threes.
Every
eventually
time.
It'll ring after seven threes.
That's true. If you just keep after 817 or 214, if you
threes.
Just keep pushing three.
I will say this, seven or more.
Yeah.
Because if you go six, circuit. it won't dial.
It's like when you were a kid and you wanted to call time and temperature and you just ate 4444444444 until it just
said. Wait,
did you say
you're gonna call time and temperature? What does that mean?
Look, there was this phone number that you would call and it would be like, hello, the time is 10:24. The temperature is 88 degrees. Goodbye. And like, that's the whole thing.
Yes.
It did.
You didn't have to have the weather app. You could just call it. And if you were a kid in the summertime and mom said you could only get in the pool whenever it was 90 degrees, you were calling all day long until it finally reached 90 degrees.
I feel like I would just gotten in the pool.
See, because you're a rebel. The other thing my sister and I would do, we would call in the winter as if this is the way weather works.
Oh, yeah, school.
And if it was 35 degrees, we'd be like, 3 degrees to freeze.
Yep.
Even though if there's no precipitation, we didn't quite comprehend that part of it. All right, we've got more Mavericks information, and you might not love this newest bit of information. Mike, what did Nico Harrison say about Luka and the Olympic qualifying?
He said he knows that, I'm not quoting perfectly here, but he says he knows that he loves it. And if he's physically able to, they expect him to play for Slovenia.
As long as he can walk. Mm. Okay, hold on. Here's the quote. That's probably one of his biggest joys. As long as he can walk, he's probably going to play for them. That's my expectation.
As long as he can walk,
he's probably, that's it. That's his expectation. Oh. You know, he's just like Luka's
a
warrior.
I have Brad Townsend pulled up. So.
Okay, all right. And Townsend's pretty good.
Well, it says that Doncic physically able.
Okay.
But maybe the quote is walking. I don't know.
Yeah.
We just hope. Now we're rooting against Slovenia. I've always rooted for Slovenia over the United States when it comes to Luka Doncic being on the team. Not before Luka was on the team. But now that Luka wants to play for Slovenia, I hope that they lose and lose and lose and they only play in two or three games so that he can work on his
rest.
Yeah, and I guess not rest, just let wounds heal, yeah. But to work on his body, to work maybe a little bit on his game in another way. But yeah, if he's just going to sit around and eat whatever they eat in Slovenia that's fatty and not good for you, I don't want him doing that.
Oh, what is Slovenia food?
From the 817, shout out to my fiance, Jamie. It could be Jaime. His birthday is on Sunday, and I want to wish him the happiest of birthdays. Can't wait to celebrate with you this weekend. And then from the 68, happy birthday, by the way, from the 682, shout out to you fellas. Best show of the day. Thank you very much. Now, we're going to try to trot this out a little bit more over the next couple weeks. Do you think it's time for some NFL overreaction or reality?
Heck yeah, man. We're all in. I can't wait for this season.
These are not going to be Cowboys-based questions specifically because of that.
Dude, here's what's really interesting about All In is now it's going to turn. Mike's been talking about the cycle of Cowboys fans for a while.
It's time.
Right about now is when yelling and griping about it to, you know what? All In is actually a rallying cry for us from here on.
Cowboy fans are all in right now.
This is it, dude. We're all in.
There, look, right now it's just you're getting to the dog days of baseball. Mm-hmm. Basketball and hockey are over, and I don't know how much Cowboy fans actually care about basketball and hockey. They probably are very casual, and so now they're like, it's all in. It's all Cowboys, and I'm telling you, 15-2, and they only lose the last two games because they're getting ready for the playoffs.
Kevin, here's what we need to do more often. Just carry a bag of chips around with us so that whenever people ask us, we can just empty that bag and push it to the middle of the table and be like, all in.
Oh my God.
Everywhere you go, just have a bag of chips with you. So you can be all in.
Okay. I will keep that in mind.
I'm
going to
eat some chips right now. I'll be right back.
No, wait. I hate chips.
Okay.
No, you hate other people eating chips.
You like chips if you're eating chips.
Yeah.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Detroit Lions will win the Super Bowl by defeating the Cincinnati Bengals.
I'll put money
that doesn't happen. Okay. Just because the odds are that won't happen.
Would it be fun, though? Like, would that be a fun Super Bowl? That's talented passing teams right there.
First question I have, how did the Cowboys lose?
It's something out of their control. Something out of their control. Yeah.
I'm a big Patrick Mahomes fan, and reality is setting in that the guy who gets paid the most might not be making the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence. So I would love to just see Kansas City go on some sort of, and I'll tell you what, if you hate Tom Brady and hate the Patriots, maybe if you are obviously Cowboys fan first, maybe you should really root for Patrick Mahomes to overtake the Tom Brady / New England Patriots situation.
Yeah.
Which won't happen this year, but over the next 10 years, it could happen.
It's overreaction, Kevin, but I think it would be a fun, if all healthy, quarterbacks and wide receivers alike. I think that's a very fun combo.
Next overreaction or reality.
Ugly color schemes, though.
Orange
and blue again out on the field together. I'm just not a fan.
You really don't like that.
Not a fan.
The New York Giants.
New York Football Giants, sir.
I'm sorry. Correct. The New York Football Giants.
Why do we say that? They moved to San Francisco in like 57.
Chris Berman.
Still got to be clear.
We'll finish the season with Drew Locke as their quarterback.
What team?
The New York Giants.
Yeah,
Football
who cares?
Giants.
Football Giants.
Nice. What happened to Pizzeroni guy or whatever his name is?
Tommy DeVito. Reggie, did you by chance hear Mike's confusing? It might have been offensive. I'm not sure.
Is this where he got to the Mets?
Yes.
This is the song.
Yeah.
So this song is what?
Lazy Mary.
Okay.
Lou Monte.
There you go.
This is it. This is the seventh inning.
We got it so wrong so many times.
Shout out to Winbag 4 on the Twitch.
Thank you, Winbag 4.
Okay. That's what he said yesterday.
He goes, Mamma Mia, Potsapia. And then we sang That's Amore. And he goes, that's it. That's the one. And we're like, that's not anything like that.
Sorry. I knew it picked up. I was like, wait, this Amore song picks up because this is the song. It has a little bit of a picker.
I'm not entirely sure.
I feel like I encouraged something that I shouldn't have.
You really did. Corey.
Second a stanza. By the way, in Slovenia, maybe this is why Luca has trouble keeping off weight. Their most favorite foods are rolled dumplings, rolled dough Slovenia cake, Slovenia food of, so I don't even know that word, some sausage, and then stuffed dumplings from some other place. So a lot of
very
dough
high
and
fat,
dumplings
yeah.
and sausage okay. is what Slovenia's putting down.
It's a hearty diet, it sounds like.
Yeah, it looks really good, though.
I gotcha. Now,
I'm kind of hungry.
A lot
now.
Of dough and meat.
Yeah.
Corey, you're a big New York football Giants guy. Do you think that they finish the season with Drew Lock as their quarterback? Because they've just given up.
I mean, how many more games can you give Daniel Jones with that contract?
This year?
I mean, you pretty much are stuck.
So,
but after this year, they can release him, right?
I think.
Yeah, you'll take a hit. I don't think it's really, really terrible.
I do
though.
Think that is if something injury wise, I think it could happen to Daniel Jones. So yeah, I could see. How many games do you mean by end the season with? Just one game?
One or two?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Final game will be Drew Lock.
Ooh. Yeah. There's. I mean, they can get out of it for sure. I think after this season, they're still looking at a $22 million hit.
I have a football question.
Okay.
Based on this football question on the Giants. How many routes will Malik Nabers run, get open, and then go to the sideline and go, what the F?
70% of them.
Yeah.
That's what I
don't know how great he's going to be, but obviously he's a very high-talented prospect. But can you imagine when you do get drafted and you don't have a quarterback, how frustrating it can be?
Like, yeah.
I'm going to give Dak Prescott some flowers here. Like when CeeDee Lamb got drafted by the Cowboys, just think if he would have got drafted by the Raiders or the Broncos, because before that was Ruggs and Judy were the two guys drafted ahead of him, if I have that correct. He would have been working with trash quarterbacks and not really getting, I know he didn't have the greatest rookie season, Lamb, but he had a nice rookie season, but he's working with a quality quarterback. It just really has to stink when you're a receiver and you get taken by a team that doesn't have a quarterback, and you know that quarterback isn't going to be the future quarterback, and you have to wait for their future quarterback to get drafted.
Yeah. Now, Malik Nabers, I mean, dude, he's fun to watch, but is he going to have to use all of his catch radius?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, he used a bunch of people's catch radiuses, radii, combined. All right, next, overreaction to reality. The Patriots, who are underdog in all of their games this year, will not get the number one pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
No, they're getting the number one pick. They took a guy that from a basketball school. Never works.
Really thought that you were going to use this opportunity to dump on Carolina and Bryce Young, but...
Oh, gosh. So we're going with Spud Young or we're going with Drake May. Both horrible quarterbacks.
Oh, we can at least wait till Drake May plays one snap in the NFL.
No. Name a Carolina quarterback who's ever been good.
The closest Jake DeLome.
Yeah, horrible. The closest we can get to...
That was for the Carolina Panthers. He meant North Carolina.
Is Phillip Rivers, who played for NC State. Do I have his college
right? Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Duke. And he's not, you don't even consider that Carolina, but they are in Carolina. Horrible. Name me a Wake Forest quarterback who is ever good at something. Nobody. Tim Duncan. Stop taking quarterbacks from basketball schools. They all stink.
So push. I don't, what was the final answer we came away with?
Number one pick in the 2025 draft goes to the New England Patriots, who select a quarterback because they made a major mistake with the third overall pick last year.
They might take another running back, seeing as they seem to like them so much.
Man, do they ever.
What if after this year, Ezekiel Elliott goes back to the Patriots and he just keeps switching teams back and forth until his gut hangs over his belt, and then it's finally over.
So rude. All right, Corey, I'm going to get one more in real quick. Jaden Daniels will win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
That is huge.
Overreaction or reality?
We can only hope.
Well, I don't hope that.
I'll be honest, man. I think he looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks good.
Just and he's not some of the things Carolina. I've seen, he looks really prepared.
The Hog Pound is back.
Did he just mix
the, yes. Yes,
the
he
Browns
did.
And the... Okay, yeah. All right.
Why not call it the Hog Pound?
I mean,
You make a great point. Yeah, I don't know.
The pig pen would be better.
Also a fair point.
I think Dan Quinn's very good at getting the most out of you initially, and then it kind of falls apart after that when you get burned out. Yeah. But that's I think he's going to be pretty good this year, man.
He's
got some weapons too.
I'm going to say his major competition will be Marvin Harrison Jr., but that is on the basis.
Not Caleb?
No, I'm not a huge believer in him. Okay. I wish I was, but I think he's a mama's boy. And I think he's going to struggle with playing against men and with men. So I'm going to go with Marvin Harrison Jr. as long as, I don't even want to know his name anymore because, you know, he comes to Mavs games and talks trash. But as long as little guy is healthy and throws him the ball.
I'm assuming Kyler Murray is where we were going with that.
Yeah, I don't want to say his name. He came to the Oklahoma City Thunder games and started talking trash to Luka.
How'd that turn out?
In your face.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more of your shout-outs, but also baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Well, we get ready for the Kansas City Royals, and we go back to Rickwood Field next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece. Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I gotta be real slower on turning on these mics, don't I?
You really? I don't think it'll matter. Mike will continue to talk one way or another.
I'm sorry. That was a really funny.
From the 214, shout out to my son Tyson. It's his fourth birthday. He's having a Texas Rangers themed birthday party. Love it. Happy birthday to Tyson. And now, baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right, so let's talk about Rickwood Field real quick. Did you guys get to take in any of it? I obviously got to take it in.
I saw the beginning of
later at night. I didn't know what had happened, but I was like, hey, this has been special. The Field of Dreams has been the deal the last few years. But I know that Frank Thomas has bought a stake in the whole facility of Field of Dreams. And I think they were redoing a lot of things there, which is, in a way, great for that facility. But then great that baseball had to think about, if you don't know this, they had to think about years in advance. Where could we hold something this special that has taken on a really cool life of its own? And luckily, they go to Birmingham, Alabama, and not knowing that at all, that Willie Mays was going to pass away days before. Yeah. It becomes not only a celebration of the Negro Leagues, but a celebration of Willie Mays. And I thought it was really cool. I watched quite a bit of the pregame, and I told you guys that I was probably going to cry. I even told my wife when I got home and turned it on kind of about 9 o'clock, you might see me crying a little bit, but it's just because I love sports so much, especially baseball and the history of it, and I don't know a ton about Negro League history. I know, obviously, some of it, but I have never really delved into the history of the Negro Leagues to know a lot of it. And I regret when I went to Kansas City this year that I didn't go to the Negro League Hall of Fame. Just sometimes time gets away from you. Like, I just don't have enough time to get there, pack up, get ready for the trip to, you know, all this stuff. But I thought it was well done. I thought the pregame stuff that they had pre-made was really nice. I wish it was longer because I'm going to be honest here. I'm not the biggest fan of Alex Rodriguez and David Ortiz and their commentary. I'm not saying I don't like them at all. I'm just not the biggest fan of, I need to listen to what those two have to say in certain moments. And I didn't feel like, after listening to them for, let's say, the first 10 minutes of the pregame that I recorded, I'm like, I don't know if Alex or Big Poppy's going to bring anything to the table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of times, because,
but it feels less frustrating in a situation like this than it did in the postseason.
100%, because they did not care at all to ever study the Texas Rangers or their opponent for the most part. They just don't care. I do feel bad for Derek Jeter. I think that he's pretty
good job.
And he knows the game because he was recently with the Marlins, so he had to know at least some of the players in the league. I'm assuming he knew a lot.
I think he also is one of those guys that was like, for preparation purposes, he doesn't want to look foolish.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to look good, whereas A-Rod and Poppy, they go off natural talent and whatnot for most of their part.
So for Jeter, I'm like, gosh, I want to hear what he has to say, but I'm just not the biggest fan of hearing what Big Poppy or A-Rod have to say. And it just, that's my preference. It doesn't mean that they're not great at it. Maybe they are great at it. I just don't feel like they're adding a lot to a broadcast besides their name. And let's face it, those people have fallen in love with New York and Boston so much. They don't even care like what they're saying. There's like, they're Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees, put them on. It's like, well, do they have any education about the game today? Are they trying it all to help out the education of the fan today about what's happening in today's game? No, they do not care at all. So it's just really tough. But the big news of yesterday's pregame show was Reggie Jackson. I had no clue what Reggie Jackson said before. Remember, he said it around 5:15-ish, I'm going to guess, here, local time. I didn't watch it till 9:30 last night. And so he was describing how tough it was playing in Birmingham, Alabama. I believe in 1967 was the year that he played minor league baseball there. And he did not leave out the N-word in what he was called in multiple situations. And he talked about, look, it was tough. I'd never want to go through it again. It was a scary moment in my life because I didn't know this, that the timeline was exactly the same, that when the Klan killed four girls at or near a church, that was happening right then when Reggie Jackson was playing in Alabama Birmingham. And so, but then he also said, look, without my white manager and white friends on the team that stood up for me, that made sure that I was protected and taken care of, it was just a very heartfelt speech. And he gave his story in Birmingham, Alabama, and it wasn't pleasant. It was not a good reflection on Birmingham, Alabama and Rick Wood Field, because he has bad emotions about that field. He doesn't have good feelings about that field. He has bad feelings about that field.
I wonder if that was cathartic for him at all. So while everyone's celebrating and he's like, no, I like some of the field and what it represented to people, but I also hate a lot of it.
Yeah, so it was very tough for him. And then they had on Barry Bonds and they had on Ken Griffey Jr. at the same time. That was okay. It was a little bit weird. Ken Griffey Jr. was very cordial, humble, quiet.
That is Ken Griffey Jr. Every time I see him, I feel I get that.
And Barry Bonds, it was tough for him because that was his godfather, Willie Mays, who just passed away 2 days ago. He, in a pre-done deal, talked about how he was 5 years old when he got to know Willie Mays. And so for the last 54 years, he's been very close to Willie Mays, and Willie Mays took a liking to him. And he talked about stories about Willie Mays. And then he talked about some other things, but I'll just leave it at that. Is yesterday at the ballpark, you know, us media guys and stuff like that, and I shouldn't say yesterday, the day before, when the last Ranger game is, I asked the question and it became a fun debate. You guys asked me the day after Willie passed, he's the greatest living ball player, but he's not living anymore. Yeah. And they're like, who is it or you know, who is it now? And I was like, man, off the top of my head, I don't think people are going to like this answer, but I'm going to go with Barry Bonds. But I think it came down to most people at the ballpark when we like just threw it out there, like now that Willie's gone, and it became Barry versus Griffey. Would you guys say, I know you guys only have a minute here, would you guys say that's the debate? That's that there's nobody else in the debate?
Honestly, I think if Griffey is in the conversation, I think Trout needs to be in the conversation too, even though I know he's still playing.
Then you don't consider pitchers? You hate pitchers?
I mean, I disqualified Roger Clemens. Mike. I wonder if Pedro
We talked about
Maddox.
We talked about who the greatest pitcher is, living pitcher of all time. I don't know if they want me to share this or not, but I will say somebody who has a lot of respect said it's Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
Okay.
And said, and look at his numbers versus his contemporaries at the time.
But fielding ball player? Yeah, man. I think Griffey, Trout, what he has done. Again, we discussed that point of from here on, though, if he can't stay injured, there's still a lot of...
Wait, if he can't stay healthy.
Stay healthy. There's still like
he can
this,
stay injured. We found that out.
Would have loved to see him on a playoff team doing something special and all those things, like getting to see those moments.
Yeah.
But with Griffey, it was kind of... That was very rare, too.
You know, I picked out my top three outfielders because then Jared Sandler was like, who's the three greatest living outfielders right now? And I picked Bonds, Griffey, and I picked Ricky Henderson, but I thought about Mike Trout. The thing about Mike Trout, which is tough for me, is I look at Griffey versus Trout, and Trout doesn't have 400 home runs yet, and Griffey has 630 in his career. So that's the only thing that becomes tough for me is I'm with you because Trout became, a debate with Ricky Henderson. But I understand. I think Trout is in the maybe not. I don't know. Best living player. It's tough because
I know he's not an outfielder. What about Mike Schmidt?
Yeah, he's really good too.
I mean, that's a 3-time MVP right there. I wonder if he would be in that conversation, like along with Ricky Henderson, in terms of
I have him as the greatest living third baseman.
Okay,
can I share a quick story that I saw? I'm going to do it as fast as I can. Will Clark was talking about Ricky Henderson, and Will Clark said that he would stand on first. And he would goad Ricky Henderson into stealing a base. And he would say, hey, Ricky, dude, nobody's going to throw you out. Dude, you're the best. And he'd go, Thrill, you know what? I think I'm going to go. Thrill, I'm going to go. All right. And he said he would yell to the dugout, all right, guys, he's going. And then Ricky would go, I'm gone, Thrill, and run, slide into second, stand up and turn around and said, I told you, Thrill, I was going to go. I told you I was going to go. They can't catch me. And that's just, that was Ricky Henderson. He was that good at stealing bases, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, lots of basketball news to digest, including why this player might not be a great fit with the Mavs. Let's do it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. it's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.